Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just 10 bucks. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The search for peace, or at least a ceasefire in Ukraine, the subject of an upcoming event I recommend to everyone online on the 24th of May by the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, a discussion from my guest, Anatole Levin, the director of the Eurasia Program at the Quincy Institute, as well as his colleagues Thomas Graham, Miriam Pemberton, Jeffrey Sachs, and George Beebe will moderate the event. We begin with a preview of this because Anatole has spoken of it for more than a year. The search for peace or a ceasefire, choose both, and what is to be done. Anatole, I look forward to your event. However, you and your colleagues have already looked at this story from all sides. And I begin with a news report in these last hours. This is via London from Kyiv. Ukraine's foreign minister, Dmytro Kuleba, told a visiting Chinese official that his government wouldn't accept any proposal to end Russia's invasion that involved the loss of territory or the, quote, freezing of conflict. There it is. The Chinese Communist Party sends a representative, Special Envoy Li, to Ukraine to talk about a ceasefire or peace. And Ukraine's response is, there'll be no discussion if we have to give up any of our territory. This looks to be the same old quandary that we've had for more than a year. Or is there a change in the weather? Good evening to you.
Hello, John. Well, as far as Kuleba is concerned, it's what he's been saying, yes, I mean, for a year now. Early in the war, there were definite differences between him and Zelensky. Zelensky was, in fact, offering the possibility of a peace settlement. Kuleba, from my information, was always dead against it. The thing is that if, you know, what Kuleba has just said does, in fact, represent the, you know, firm Ukrainian government policy, and if that remains unchanged, then there cannot be either a peace settlement or a ceasefire. I mean, my hopes were founded on the idea that, you know, if you couldn't have a peace agreement, because Ukraine would never, you know, Russia would never agree to give up Crimea, and Ukraine, you know, cannot formally surrender territory, that you might have a ceasefire, which would allow negotiations to take place over a long period and would not require the territorial issue to be formally settled. What the Ukrainians, of course, are afraid of is that a ceasefire would, you know, in practice, leave certain areas permanently in Russia's hands. But frankly, if what Kuleba says is true, that then there is nothing to talk about with the Ukrainians. And we're not sure, of course, of what the basic Russian position is. However, as so many people have stressed, things could look very different come, you know, the autumn or winter, because, of course, both Ukrainian hopes but also Western hopes are centered on this forthcoming Ukrainian offensive.
Yes, I want to go right to there, Anatole, because you and your colleague Jake Werner make a deal of this exact point. So I want to lay out my understanding of your essay. This is available at the Quincy Institute right now. Yes, the U.S. can work with China for peace in Ukraine. However, Beijing is waiting, Washington is waiting, Kyiv is waiting, Moscow is waiting, and all the capitals of NATO are waiting for the so-called spring counteroffensive. However, do I read you correctly to say a success would change the nature of negotiations, and a failure would change the nature of a negotiation. So win or lose, succeed or fail, the offensive is the predicate for peace talks. Is that correct?
That's absolutely right. Because the curious thing is that as far as many in Washington are concerned, not all, of course, there are those who want, you know, to back Ukraine to total victory. But certainly, you know, we have heard indications from within the Biden administration that, you know, if Ukraine can recover most of the territory it lost since the Russians invaded last year, America would then be anxious to promote a ceasefire, which would leave Crimea in Russian hands, because Crimea is of such importance to the Russians that they're afraid that Russia would in fact escalate towards direct attacks on the West and eventually towards nuclear war. So Ukrainian victory would lead to pressure for a ceasefire on Ukraine. Ukrainian defeat, if the Russians advance further, would obviously lead to pressure so that Ukraine didn't lose more territory. And a stalemate in which both sides remain bogged down along present lines would also lead to pressure for a ceasefire, because we're hearing, you know, more and more indications, and not just from European governments, but also from, you know, elements in the US Congress saying, look, if, you know, we can't back the Ukrainians forever in an endless series of failed offensives. So I think that really, whatever the outcome of the offensive, we will see moves towards a ceasefire come the late autumn or winter. And then, of course, China could play a very important role in bringing influence to bear on Russia. But of course, America would also have to bring pressure to bear on Ukraine, because there is no way that Russia is going to agree, you know, simply to abandon all the territory it has held since 2014. That is not possible for any Russian government.
You write with your colleague, Jake Werner, that in Washington, there is serious attention to what might happen if Ukraine is successful and overruns the Russian defense of the Crimea. You mentioned the threat of a nuclear weapon. I take that seriously. It would be foolish not to. But at this point, to your understanding, is that a statement, if you overrun Crimea, we will use a nuke? Is that a statement that anyone in Moscow has said, that anyone in Kyiv has said? They're aware of this? Has anyone in Washington said that out loud?
Well, people in Washington have said it, you know, off the record, but they have said it. Kyiv, of course, has said it in order to dismiss it, to say this isn't a threat, because obviously they, you know, want maximum full Western support to conquer Crimea. The Russians have not said this explicitly, but Putin has hinted at it. My own sense, and from what I have been gathering from various sources, is that this would not be an immediate escalation to nuclear weapons and not to tactical nuclear weapons in Ukraine, because that would be appallingly risky. It would be colossally damaging, destructive of Russia's international image. And of course, it would be thoroughly ironic and even grotesque, because Russia would be, you know, dropping nuclear weapons on territory that it claims as its own. But there are a lot of other things that Russia could do, which would really alarm many in the West and threaten a spiral of escalation which could end in full-scale nuclear war. One possibility that has been raised is Russia could knock out the US satellites, which have done so much to help the Ukrainian army with satellite intelligence, for example. And then, you know, the US retaliates against that, Russia retaliates, and so it goes. So, yeah, I mean, it's a serious danger.
And so what we have right now, before we go to the what can China do, we have Ukraine repeating a non-negotiable fact. We will not in any fashion concede any of our territory, including Crimea. We have the Russians threatening worse escalation, red line talk all the time. and China at the table. So we're going to turn to what China needs, what the U.S. needs in its relationship, not only to China, but also to Russia, in order to go to a ceasefire, let alone peace. Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. I'm John Batchelor.
Allergy season does not slow down when you are on the move. That's why Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are ready whenever sneezes strike. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are allergist approved and silky soft for up to 100% irritation-free skin. And now with the new Kleenex Snap and Go, you can get that same gentle care made for life on the go. Get the Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues you love in a new, compact, durable package. New Kleenex Snap and Go snaps shut for a clean tissue anytime, anywhere. For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex Snap and Go.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. And $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.